Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. This is Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Aaron Gurness, and our guest today on Let's Talk Knoxville is Knoxville Hy-Vee and Knoxville Hospital and Clinic's dietitian Courtney Slater. We're going to be talking about a couple of things. First, we'll start out with a conversation about Diabetes Awareness Month. We'll also be talking about staying healthy with your eating habits during the holiday season. Well, Courtney, thanks for being here with us today.
Thank you.
It's Diabetes Awareness Month, and it's an important subject to touch on because there's still, I think, sometimes a lot of confusion and misunderstanding of what diabetes is. Talk a little bit about it because there are two different types of diabetes.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There are two different categories of diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, and within both of those, there are also some subcategories of diabetes. But overall, it comes back to those two types. Type 1 diabetes is where the immune system attacks the insulin-producing cells, so their bodies don't make any insulin whatsoever. So their only option is insulin injections or an insulin pump. Type 2 diabetes is where the body produces insulin, but it either can't use it or it doesn't make enough. So there are some other options. It could be insulin injections, or there's also diet and exercise and lifestyle changes that may help with diabetes.
With diabetes, what kind of dietary changes might you have to make in order to continue living a healthy life?
Overall, we recommend a general healthy diet, but what's most important is counting your carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are what will affect the blood sugar the most because those will turn into sugar in the blood. So when you count your carbohydrates, you're able to control the rise and fall of your blood sugars a little better.
What are some of the biggest challenges that diabetics face?
I think overall, it's just the multiple choices that they have to make a day. Diabetes isn't one of those things that you can necessarily forget about, though some people might try. It's one of those things that affects pretty much everything you do. You have to take into account the level of activity, the food that you're eating, as well as stress or any other hormones that might be released in your body.
Okay, and what are some of the symptoms of diabetes? You know, you may not know that you have it. How can you tell that you might have it?
Most common symptoms are excessive thirst, which would also bring on excessive urination, as well as hunger and unexplained weight loss.
If you do think you have it, I imagine you got to go talk to your doctor.
Mm-hmm. Talk to your doctor. What they'll do is they'll probably do a blood test, or they might draw some blood for an A1C, which is an average blood sugar.
Okay. And then they'll explain to you what those results mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they will. They'll tell you what the results are and then what it is you may or may not need to do from there.
Is there anything that's kind of happened in the past that's changed the way that diabetics live? Any newer technologies, that sort of thing?
Over the last few years, a lot of new technology has come out. Blood sugar meters didn't really come out until the 80s. Now pretty much everybody has one so they can check their blood sugar. Also new are insulin pumps, which is an alternative to multiple injections a day, as well as continuous glucose monitoring, which can take the blood for you so a person doesn't have to poke their finger as often.
And I think one of the most amazing things is that some of the diabetics are, you know, as young as first grade, kindergarten, and mm-hmm. they learn from a very young age how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was working at a day camp, these kids are actually they're poking their own blood. You know, they know what they're doing, and that comes from that education, I imagine.
Diabetes is non-discriminatory, so it can hit any person at any age, and it does require a lot of changes. Especially as a child, you have to learn a lot how to take care of yourself because essentially your life depends on it.
Our conversation then shifted to Thanksgiving and staying healthy with your eating habits over the holiday season. Thanksgiving is this week, kind of the start of the holiday season, which we all think of for cheery happiness and giving and snow and that sort of thing. But it's also a time when a lot of food is consumed. And imagine a lot of people are already busy kind of making up their Thanksgiving dinners and getting ready to go. And it's a time when people that can be concerned about their weight may lose track a little bit about what's going on. So with Thanksgiving and in general, what are some tips that you have for people to get ready for the holidays?
Overall, the most important tip to remember is that these foods are foods that you can have at any time. So there's no sense in overeating because you know that these aren't foods that you only have once a year. You have the opportunities to control what it is you're eating just because these foods will come up again. So you don't have to eat it all now because you know it'll come back.
And so essentially, if you're at a guest house, you know, and they offer the traditional turkey and stuffing and all of that, smaller portions, I imagine, probably helps out.
Yep, exactly. If you make half your plate fruits and vegetables, you're filling up on a lot of really good nutrient-dense foods, but also foods that taste good and ones that you can enjoy too.
Is there any sort of advice you give people as they're shopping around, talking to you about like special holiday fruits or vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables, essentially, there's no bad one. There isn't one I would recommend over another, but for this holiday, most people prefer pumpkin, cranberry, maybe some apples as well. There's always lots of good options. You can find ways to decrease fat and sugar as well in the recipes.
And I imagine another tip is, you know, to maybe watch what you're drinking too. I did a lot of family get-togethers, so people have a good time, but that's something that you should probably watch out for too.
Alcohol has a lot of hidden calories that people don't think of, so that is another source of weight gain as well.
It's hard to get out and exercise, but that's probably an important part to stay fit during the holidays. You know, even if you can't get into what your normal routine is, if you're traveling, finding some little tips here and there to do some different things while you're at a relative's house helps.
Exactly. Especially after that big meal, maybe going out for a family walk is a good idea just to try and burn off some of those calories that you ate. It'll also prevent you from wanting to lay down and take a nap too, which most of us want to do after that big Thanksgiving meal. Or just simple things, taking the dog for a walk, having a dance party with the kids, or any other kind of simple activity will help get you moving.
And if you are the one preparing the holiday food, is there a different kind of main meals, main courses, or cooking tips maybe that can help out with limit those calories?
White meat is going to have a lot less saturated fat in it than dark meat is. You can also do things like taking out the butter and adding chicken broth, for example, in mashed potatoes. They'll still keep them moist, but it'll take out a lot of the fat and calories, as well as using sugar substitutes like Splenda or Stevia or other options to reduce the sugar.
Thanks to Courtney Slater, our guest today on Let's Talk Knoxville. Let's Talk Knoxville is available on demand at KNIKRLS.com under Radio Audio Media Player. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Let's Talk Pella's up next.